Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Exodus chapter 30, the whole chapter. Exodus 30. And let us sing first from Psalter 386, the first three stanzas. O Lord, make haste to hear my cry. To thee I call, on thee rely. Incline to me a gracious ear, and when I call, in mercy hear. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 386.
Thank you. let us then together read what we can find in Exodus chapter 30. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon, of sittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, 4 square shall it be. And 2 cubits shall be the height thereof, the horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof. And thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about. And 2 golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it, by the 2 corners thereof, upon the 2 sides of it shalt thou make it. And they shall be 4 places for the staves to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of sittim wood, and overlay them with gold. Thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dressed the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burn sacrifice, nor meat offerings, neither shall ye pour drink offerings thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give every one that passeth among them that are numbered, 1/2 shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary, a shekel is 20 gerahs, and 1/2 shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Every one that passeth among them that are numbered, from 20 years old and above, shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, the poor shall not give less than 1/2 shekel. When they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shalt appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal, and thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his son shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offerings made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statue forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, 1/2 so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, a hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony. and the table and all his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offerings with all his vessels, and the laver and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever touches them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take unto thee sweet spices, stacte, and onycha, and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense, of each shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume and confection, after the art of the apothecary. Temper together, pure and holy, and thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put off it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that, to smell thereto, shall even be cut off from his people. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we are privileged to appear before thee in thy house in this morning hour. We can read in thy holy word that thou stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, and thou ridest upon the wings of the wind. The clouds are thy chariot, for thou hast created all these things, and thou dost also uphold them moment by moment. The planets and the stars and everything in the whole universe. Day by thy power. And thou causedest also upon this earth the springs to spring up in the valleys, that the beasts, the wild asses may quench their thirst. Thou givest the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of men. Thou givest wine to make glad the heart of men. Thou givest oil which maketh his face to shine. And for all these things are we dependent upon thee. Every moment that thou givest not only those things which are necessary for our life, but that thou givest also much more abundance, so many blessings over and above that which is absolutely necessary, so that man may have leisure upon this world, that he may have a little rest in his life. But Lord, thou knowest that we are also rest seekers, and we are seeking a rest here below in a world of corruption, wherein we have brought sin, so that we are traveling to an eternity by nature where that we shall be separated from the world without end. And then all those blessings shall be cut off and that we have received here in this world. Lord, that we may not take for granted everything that thou dost bestow upon us. But wilt thou look upon us in thy mercy? And wilt thou open our eyes to our state and condition by nature? Show it unto us. And make thy goodness to break our hard and sinful hearts. Lord, thou knowest that we go on and we go on. And we hear thy word. Even as it came to us last evening, and our hearts are unaffected of ourselves. Oh, how dependent are we upon thee, not only for that which we need in this life, but that we may receive from thee that which we cannot miss for that great eternity. And now thou givest that we may separate this day. Lord, wilt thou look upon us as a congregation, many needs known unto thee. And wilt thou supply for young and old together, each one in the necessities of this life, the children, when they go to school day by day. Wilt thou remember them in the daily needs that will come upon them even in the days of their youth as they do grow and learn in this world. And then they must learn what sin has caused, the great misery that is the consequence of sin. Then it must more and more be experienced by them, even in their childhood. Remember the children that have special needs. Thou knowest where that they are. When they have needs of the body, wilt thou supply for them when there is weakness, when there is sickness, and some that are in pain. Wilt thou remember the boy that is daily in pain in his body? Wilt thou look upon him? Lord, give thou a solution when man does not have a solution. And wilt thou strengthen him? And oh, give him to cry to thee in this prayer day. That thou may hear, Lord, from thy heavenly dwelling place, and that he may experience that the God of all the earth lives, and that his heart also may be drawn to thee in the days of his youth, and that thou may look upon all our children, and when their hearts are yet young and they are tender, that they may not be given over to the service of the devil and to all this world, but that thou may draw them in the days of their youth. And Lord, thou knowest also when we have become older and when our hearts, they have become harder and they have become colder. Oh, then it can be that a man, he says, then there is nothing that is able to break this hard and sinful heart. Lord, could it please thee to remember us as a congregation in the season that lies before us, to provide not only for all the natural goods, but that thou may look upon us in our needs for our souls. Lord, that thou may give a little rain from heaven, and that thou may give a little dew, that it may fall even upon us, and that we must confess to thee in this morning hour what our sins are. For we do not deserve that thou shouldest hear our supplication. Lord, thou knowest how that we have left thee, and then there are none of us that have that true desire from our own side, if that lives in our hearts that is only a gift of thee. Lord, we have so departed from thee. Oh, our lives are so full of this world, and our hearts, they are sunken in the depths of sin. And we have a form of religion. Now with our lips we draw nigh unto thee. But thou knowest that our hearts, they are so far from thee. Oh, we have left thee days without number. Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Wilt thou forgive all our transgressions and all of our sins? And wilt thou turn us again as a congregation? Oh, bring us upon our knees in our inner chamber, in the season that lies before us, that there may be work with thee. Oh, that we may supplicate unto thee for mercy and for grace for us and for our dear children. And wilt thou supply for those that mourn, for all those that are lonely, and for those that have difficulties of the mind, those that have weaknesses of the body, the handicapped, wilt thou remember all those that are in the prisons? Lord, thou knowest what is living also within their hearts, that thou may give unto them that true repentance when there is guilt. For the sun does shine upon the earth, and that then the birds they may sing, and then they go back into their cells once again, Lord, day by day, to be sitting by themselves. Oh, do give. Do give that the knees may be bent, and that the hands may be folded, and that there may be those as a Manasseh of old, and that may cry to the Lord of heaven, and that may know that the Lord is God. And those that are sitting there in an innocent way, Lord, that thou may look upon them also in this season that is to come. Oh, give to them help from the sanctuary, to bear up under the burdens that thou dost lay upon them, and that thou may look upon all those that are in need in this world. So much suffering, so much misery, and it is all our own fault. Lord, wilt thou draw us unto thee as a nation and as a people? Turn us again, and that thy word may come in the foreground, and that thy truth may be bound upon the hearts of our leaders, and that thy law may be brought into our courts, and that righteousness and judgment may be done in the sight of a holy and a righteous God. Lord, remember us also in that season that lies before us, and that thou may strengthen us for the labors of our hands, that thou may bless the means that we use, if it could please thee for our recovery, and that we may go before our flock more and more. Oh, that thou may bless thy own word, also that which is read, and give us faithfulness in coming up before thee, and may thou look upon us to shower upon us, and not only in the midst of the fields, the sun and the rain, but may it be also in the midst of the church. Help us this hour, and give us a little hour of separation, a little hour of rest. May it be a little hour of communion. We ask it in the forgiveness of all of our sin. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 286, stanzas 1, 3, 5, and 6. He waters the hills with rain from the skies, and plentiful grass and herbs he supplies, supplying the cattle and blessing man's toil with bread in abundance, with wine and with oil. The collection today is for our school. 286, 1, 3, 5, and 6. congregation, we may commemorate prayer day in this day. What does that mean to us? Prayer. Do we know what that is? We can read in the Bible that the disciples, they asked the Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. Do we also ask the Lord to teach us to pray? Or is that an easy thing for us? Maybe that is something, young people, that you say that you don't even do. How easily, even if we do this in the way of form, how easily do we not, with our heart, leave the Lord so much in His place? It was not so easy for the disciples to pray. And yet they needed to pray. That is what they felt. And therefore they are asking the Lord for instruction, and that the Lord may teach them how to do this. Are there those that may feel it also in this prayer day? We wish with the help of the Lord to consider what the Lord is instructing in His Word about prayer. The words of our text you can find in the portion of God's Word which was read to you, Exodus 30, and thereof the first part of the first verse. Exodus 30, verse 1, the first part. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. So far, the words of our text. God's church instructed in prayer. First, an invitation to prayer. Second, the basis for prayer. And third, the power of prayer. God's church instructed in prayer. First, an invitation to prayer. Second, the basis for prayer. And third, the power of prayer. Whose words, congregation, are these? And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. They are the words of God Himself. That is instruction from the Lord. We have heard a little while ago and that the Lord, He has given a command unto Moses for the children of Israel, that they must make another altar. That was the altar of burnt offering. And with the command to make that altar of burnt offering, then we have heard the meaning of it. Because with that command, the Lord is instructing His people that He is willing to receive a sacrifice. Thus, the command to build that altar, that was the basis for that system of sacrifices. The Lord says, I will receive in your stead a substitute. Today, we hear another command. That is the command to build another altar. And that is not the altar of burnt offering, but it is the altar of incense. And what is the meaning of this altar of incense. We read in Revelation 8 that John saw this altar in heaven before the throne of God. That's the Bible that is one. From Genesis unto Revelation, we read, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Thus, we have the explanation. The meaning is clear. And then it is explained to us that incense that is signifying prayer, that it is signifying the prayer of God's people, the prayers of the saints, the prayers of God's church. Thus, that command of the Lord to build that altar of incense. What is that? That command of the Lord to build that altar that is the word of the Lord that he says that he will receive, not now the sacrifice, but that he will receive prayer. Is that not a wonder? That the Lord says that he will receive prayer. That he will receive prayer from man. No, not mere man, but fallen man. Because what is prayer? Prayer, congregation, that is communion. Thus, when there is prayer, there is a spirit. Speaking unto the Lord. Do you realize, boys and girls, what you are doing when you try to pray? That you are then speaking unto the Lord. And then there is communion with the Lord. And then there is also experienced by times also the receiving of that prayer. So that there is also communion from the Lord unto man. David, he says, the Lord, he has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. He knew, he felt, he experienced something from the Lord while he was in prayer. Thus, with that command to build an altar of incense, the Lord declares that he will receive prayer, the supplication of that fallen man that is not deserved. Do you ever feel that? And yet in this command, there is congregation and invitation. There is an invitation to lay before the Lord every need that we may have in our fallen state. After sin we have brought into the world. And under all those consequences of sin, then the Lord commands that altar to be built as an invitation to, under all that misery, lay every need before him. And not only an invitation, but it is actually more, because it is even a command from the side of the Lord that that covenant people, that they are not going elsewhere for the fulfillment of those needs, but that they are laying those needs before the God of the heaven and of the earth, because it is a great honor unto him when a man will bow his knees and supplicate unto him to confess that he alone is able to give unto him everything that he needs. And that is a great humility for man, that he may come and he may bow his knees in the way of submission unto the Lord of Sabaoth. There was that altar to be placed. That was to be placed in the holy place. That is not in the Holy of Holies. No. Just outside of the Holy of Holies. When there was a veil. In the holy place. Thus it is in the tabernacle proper. And that altar that is placed immediately before the veil, that inner veil. Thus, that altar is placed, even as we can read of that altar that John has seen in heaven, that altar is placed at the throne, just before the throne of Jehovah. And that is placed at the footstool of Jehovah. That altar that was in the court, the altar of burnt offerings, that was an altar that was covered with brass. But this altar, that is an altar that is covered in gold. Everything that was in that holy place, that was not covered with brass, but that candlestick and the table of showbread are also there, and all together they are covered in gold. That has a special significance, because that is speaking not about what is taking place here upon the earth, but it is speaking about what is taking place in heaven itself. That altar that was a foot and a half wide, that was a foot and a half deep, and it was 3 feet high. And upon that altar, incense was burned. And then that smoke from that incense would rise up out of that tabernacle, and that would ascend even into heaven itself. Thus it is speaking about the supplications of that church, how that they are ascending before the throne of God, and how that they are being received into heaven itself. Congregation, is there a people whose heart burns within them? That you say, oh, that communion, that blessed communion, because if the Lord converts us, then prayer, that is going to find a place in our life. David, he says, let my prayer come before thee, even as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. And thus he is speaking about this altar. Congregation, that is not speaking about the ability to pray. No, but that is speaking about the need to pray. and if the Lord, boys and girls, will give you a new heart, then you will need to pray. Will that always be the same? It is not always the same. No, you can ask God's children to their shame how that is not always the same. How that sometimes they are like a heathen and that they do not feel even that need to pray. But the Lord, He knows. And He is bringing His children back again. But not every prayer that is acceptable unto the Lord. No, the Lord must teach His people how to pray. And so that is also in their experience. That the Lord is instructing that people how to pray more and more in their life. No, then it is not that they feel that they know how to pray. No, then in the feelings it is just the opposite. Then the Lord, He makes that those prayers sometimes they are becoming shorter and shorter. But now the basis, the foundation, that is coming closer and closer. To that foundation that the Lord, He is hearing prayer upon. We see that in our second thought. That is the basis for prayer. We read, congregation, that the Lord appeared to Abraham in the plains of Mamre. And then the Lord showed to Abraham what He was going to do. What was He going to do, boys and girls? Then He was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And then Abraham, he had a request. He was going to speak unto the Lord. And when he begins, he says, behold, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. What did he feel? He felt something of his unworthiness. Who was he that he may speak unto the Lord, that he may pray unto the Lord, that he may ask the Lord something, that he may receive an answer from the Lord? O congregation, is there such a people in this morning hour, in the beginning of this prayer day, that say, who am I, that I should ask the Lord anything, that I should be permitted to present my supplication unto the Lord of all the earth? Maybe there was a time, young people, that you would go upon your knees, but you didn't dare. Do you know such a time in your life? That you didn't dare to bend your knees. And why not? Because in your conscience was sin. Then you thought, how can I bend my knees? And how can I pray unto God? Because then you felt something, that those two things, they didn't fit. That such a person who is going on in his sin should ask the Lord. That is so true. We are so unworthy. Do you know what Jacob said? We see him returning to that land of his fathers. And then he hears Esau is coming with 400 men. And Jacob, he is so afraid. He is so afraid. And what does he do when he is at that river Jordan? He goes on his knees. And he will ask the Lord for something. But before he begins to ask the Lord for something, before he is making his request unto the Lord, and then Jacob has to make a confession. Then he says, Lord, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth that thou hast shown unto thy servant. Oh, how many things, when Jacob is on his knees, are not coming back to him in that moment. The Lord, the psalmist says, he makes me to possess the iniquities of my youth. And when David will ask, when he sees there his wives, he sees there his children, and he will beseech the Lord for a blessing, for protection, for his life, and for the lives of his loved ones. Oh, then also the thoughts of Jacob, and they are going back unto the days of his youth. There is a reason that he had to flee. And then in the days of his youth, how that he has deceived his own father. Or he knows why that Esau is angry. O congregation, there must be a basis. There must be a basis for prayer, because Jacob, he says, I am not worthy of the least of the least. There must be a basis in order that the Lord may hear us. And that basis that is not in us, because the Lord can find no reason in us. And yet the Lord, he is commanding that altar of incense to be made, to be built. Thus the Lord is giving an invitation unto that people. To draw nigh unto him. But at the same time, the Lord is giving instruction unto that people, how that they can draw nigh unto him. What is the basis? What is the foundation of this? How he can hear them. How he can answer them. And we see this foundation that is laid out for us in that altar, in the things that have to do with that altar, and in the administration that is at that altar. That is now congregation for that people in the Old Testament that was for them such a comfort. No, not to everyone, but not everyone needed to pray. No, but there were people in those days, the same as in these days, that could not pray. And there were people in those days, the same as in these days, that did not dare to pray. Or we see something in the first place in the composition of this altar. What is that altar made out of? We read it is made out of shittim wood overlaid with pure gold. We are familiar now with what that means, are we not, children? And that shittim wood that is overlaid with gold. And if I would ask you, then I think you would all be raising your hands now to tell me what that shittim wood that is meaning. You say that is the human nature of the Lord Jesus. That is right. And that gold, well, yes, that is now the divine nature of the Lord Jesus. That is right. Thus, the same as in that brazen altar, then we see those two natures. Well, we see the same thing here that the Lord, he is instructing his people. That is not only as the basis for that sacrifice, but that is a foundation also for the receiving of the prayer of his church. But this is now a representation of the glorified Emmanuel. Thus, in his humiliation, the representation that is in the court, when that altar is covered with brass, but now at this altar of incense that is covered with gold, thus it is speaking about that human nature that is now united unto that divine nature, but it is now united unto him, not in the way of humiliation, but in the way of exaltation. Thus it is that Emmanuel who is in his great glory. Thus that union between the human nature and the divine nature that is in heaven, that is a perfect union. Thus, the Lord, he has brought and that human nature, that human flesh with him back into heaven, our nature. And that is a foundation. There is now a reason for the Lord that he is able to answer the prayer, the supplication of his church. We see that in the second place in the officiation. What do we read? We read, and Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense. Who shall do that? Aaron, not the sinner. No, he was not allowed into that holy place. But it was the high priest. And he was acting on behalf of that sinner. And thus we see the Lord Jesus in his official work. His work as high priest. As he has been anointed to that office, who anointed him. That was the Father. And he was anointed with, the Holy Spirit. Anointed with the Holy Spirit without measure. To do what? Say, to pay the price. Yes. That is now in that court. But congregation, here the picture is something else. And thus he is anointed for another purpose. And what is that for? That is as high priest to officiate at that golden altar. We see Zacharias, he is standing on the right side of that altar when the Lord has appeared unto him. Thus the Father, he has anointed Christ, his Son, to bring the supplications of his church before him, to present those prayers, those cries, those tears, those needs, to present them unto his Father. Why? Was that necessary? Ask God's children. Ask them, congregation, when they have come up off their knees. And when they have to accuse themselves. And to say, was that now a prayer? Is that what you call praying? Oh, how much is wrong? How much is sinful? How much is lacking? Because the disposition of the heart can be so wrong. And the motives of the heart can be so wrong. All the frame of the heart can be so wrong. The address unto God, whom we are approaching, that we approach not in the right way. All the requests, the supplications, the thanksgivings, oh, how many times, people of the Lord, do you not come off your knees and then you say that you are the greatest hypocrite because that you cannot even pray in a true and an upright way, that you say, has anything ever even taken place in my life? Is that known by the Lord from before the foundation of the earth? And therefore he has anointed his son as that great high priest to take that cry, to take that prayer, if it may be called a prayer, and to present it on the behalf of the people before that throne of the Lord of Sabaoth. O congregation, from ourselves it is a stench in the holy nostrils of the Lord. Because of iniquity and sin, it is so polluted. But you know what we read that it is. And when it comes out from that high priest, then we read that it is rising as a sweet-smelling savor unto God. Oh, how much then is purged from those supplications of the church of God. And then there are so many pictures, but we see that also in that incense itself, because that is a mixture that is not left to man to formulate, but it is a mixture that the Lord himself is taking care to tell his people just how they must make it. And then it is at the threat of death that anyone should make such a mixture of incense that they may use it for any other use, because it is holy unto the Lord. And that is an incense that is pointing. You can read it at the end of this chapter. It is pointing unto the offices of the Lord Jesus, prophet, priest, and king. Then it is pointing unto the blessed submission to the holy will of God, and that he is coming as a servant to do the will of his Father. And now it is this incense that is a perfect blend of those offices of mediation that the Lord, he is receiving as a sweet-smelling savor, that when it is arising before the throne, that it is penetrating, into the deepest recesses of the heart of God, so that he is not able to turn away the supplication of his own son. O people of the Lord, what is in it from yourself? Oh, there is nothing. Nothing that is taking place. That sinner, he is now standing on the outside of that holy place, and everything is being done by the blessed high priest. Oh, more and more, you have to abhor yourself the longer that you live. But the Lord, He is providing a foundation that is outside of yourself. Why? Because when you say you do not know how it is possible that the Lord would ever receive your supplication to hear your need, then the Lord says, that is right. That is right. There is no reason that can be found in you. And therefore, He says, I provide another reason. And He is revealing this foundation. What is it? We see, congregation, a close relation between these two altars. That is that altar of burnt offering that is standing outside in the court. And that altar of incense that is standing in that holy place. Then there is a correlation, a blessed relation between these two altars. What is it? Well, how is it that smoke of that incense shall arise from that altar of incense in that holy place? Then it must be burnt. It must be burnt. And how must it be burnt? Well, the command of the Lord is that priest, he must go outside there to that altar of burnt offering. And he must take of those ashes in that vessel and bring them inside into that holy place. To place them there on that golden altar of incense. And there that incense that is placed upon those burning coals. And from this, that incense is caused to rise. To be a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. Do you understand it? Here is the foundation. Here is the basis whereupon the supplications of the church of God may be received in heaven. All that is on the foundation of that finished work of that blessed Son of God in His humanity, in that giving of Himself even unto death. Because there is no other foundation that a man may lay than that is laid, that is Jesus Christ. Outside of that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, there is not a single prayer that is to be heard for the sake of that church of God. That is why, boys and girls, that is why, when we close our prayer, then we say, in Jesus' name. Then we say, for Jesus' sake. That is so, so important. So important. And then you must think, when you pray in Jesus' name, then you must think about that brazen altar of burnt offering, and how that priest, that he is bringing those coals and he is putting them on that altar of incense as the foundation, the only foundation. And so the Lord may receive this sweet smelling savor in heaven itself. Let us sing. Before we speak about the power of that prayer, 365, 1 through 4, from the depths my prayer ascendeth unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication, and my cry, 1 through 4 of 365. We read that this altar that is surrounded on the top by a crown, who wears a crown, boys and girls. crown that is worn by a king. And Solomon, he says, where the word of a king is, there is power. Thus a king will speak, and when he speaks, then he commands. We read of the Lord Jesus in the state of his humiliation that he prayed. He went up sometimes in the mountain and he was all night in prayer to God. We read that he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears before the Lord. But what we read of in this chapter, the officiating of this high priest that is not upon the earth, no, the Lord Jesus continues that work of intercession even today in heaven. And that is no longer with strong crying and tears. No, but that is a demanding intercession. And then his prayer, his supplication is that of a king whose word, whose request that is with power. O congregation, that is now the hope, and that is now the comfort of those who are not able to pray. We see also on this altar there are horns. Horns, four horns on the corners of the altar. And that was the same on the great altar that was in the court, the altar of burnt offering. And on that altar of burnt offering, those horns, they are speaking about power. Children, the horn that is a symbol of power. Think about the horn that is on a unicorn. And when those animals, they have horns, then they are. It is that horn by which they are attacking their enemies. And now when those horns are ordered to be made on that altar of burnt offering, then it is speaking about the power of that blood. When that blood had to be smeared or sprinkled upon those four horns. But now of those greater or those holier sacrifices, we read that that blood that is also being brought into that Holy of Holies. And there that blood is also being smeared upon the horns of this altar of incense. Thus, what is the Lord saying? Oh, that is that presentation of that blood before the face of the Lord. And what is the Lord saying when he is commanding that those horns are being placed there and that that blood that is being smeared there? Then the Lord is testifying and that he is going to receive it. He says something about the power that that prayer, that supplication is going to have with him. No, not man. No, that is the Lord himself, and thou shalt make an altar to burn incense thereon. What does he say? He says, when that altar that is that incense that is being burned upon that altar, oh, then he says that that supplication that is going to have power with me. That he says, I am going to receive it because it is going to be based upon that foundation that I myself have given. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says to his Father, I know that thou hearest me always. Why? Because the Lord, he has himself commanded that those horns, they are being placed upon that altar of incense. Congregation, what do we read of Saul of Tarsus? We read, "Behold, he prayeth." That is not man that says that. No, the Lord said it of that man. "Behold, he prayeth." We would say, how that man dared to pray when he has slain the Lord's people, caused them to be put to death, when he was a persecutor of the church of God, when he was a fighter against the Lord himself. What do we read about a Manasseh when he is sitting in the prison in Babylon? Oh, it was there that he knew that the Lord, he was God. It was in that place that he bent his knees for the first time in his life, and that he prayed unto the Lord. We would say, how is it possible that that man could pray unto the Lord? He has probably put Isaiah himself in a tree and sawed him asunder. And then can that man pray? Oh, congregation, maybe there are such in our midst that say, how can I pray? Why? Because of sin. You say it is prayer day. But now for me, and now to ask the Lord blessings for the time, to ask the Lord blessings for eternity. Now that is nothing for me but hypocrisy. And congregation, that is so true from our sight. But oh, that the Lord, he may open then your eyes to see something of the relation between those altars. Because when we see not that relation, then we do not see the reason why that can be answered. It must all come out of that blessed sacrifice, those living coals that are upon that altar of burnt offering. That is now the foundation of that promise that the Lord says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. No congregation, no nice prayers. No nice prayers. No good prayers. No beautiful prayers. Why not? Because that is strange fire when it is a beautiful prayer. That is not fire from the altar of the Lord. That is not fire that comes from the sacrifice of Christ. That is the sparks of our own kindling. That is fire that comes out of a broken covenant. A beautiful prayer. We know public prayers, they need to have some order. That is not for the Lord. That is for the people. But congregation, is there a need? Oh, he has commanded that altar to be made. And why? Well, then he is declaring something. And then he is declaring that he will regard the prayer of the destitute, and he will not despise their prayer. Oh, he himself, he has laid that foundation. He himself has provided that foundation. It is a good foundation. Do you believe that? You who cannot pray, you who dare not pray, do you believe that? You cannot pray, and you dare not pray because you look for a wrong foundation. But here is a foundation on which the greatest, the chiefest of the sinners, he has prayed, and that they may pray. And therefore, James, he says, that they may ask in faith, nothing wavering. Or go home and read about Jehoshaphat, how that the Moabites and the Ammonites, they have come against him. Oh, he so feared congregation. There was a multitude of people. And he went into the house of the Lord with the congregation. And a cry went out to God. And he says, we have no strength against that great company that cometh against us. And he says, we know not what to do. We know not what to do. Is there a people who do not know what to do and do not know how that the Lord can look upon them? Or go home and read how that the Lord, he has answered that cry of God's servant. Is every prayer in this world answered on the basis of that sacrifice? No. No. Because the reprobate also prays. And they also receive an answer, food and drink for this world. In the season that is to come, that will be also. But congregation, that is based on the common grace, the common goodness of the Lord. But now, everything that the church of God is receiving in this world, and for that world to come that is flowing out of that sacrifice of the Son of God upon Golgotha. We read that this altar, this golden altar that is still standing. We read it together. That is still standing in that holy place. Oh, there that high priest. And then he is still officiating at that altar. And that is still arising as a sweet incense into the nostrils of the Lord himself. Oh, the priests in this world, they had to do that morning and evening. That was for a perpetual offering. That was a perpetual cry. That was a perpetual supplication, because the needs of God's children, they are not yet done. The needs for the time, the needs for eternity. No, do not ask for the riches of this world. When you will do that, young people, when you will do that, then you must think a moment again upon those coals, because that sacrifice that was not in order to give God's children the riches of this world, it was not. But that was in order to pay the price for sin. Will you then ask for this? Riches profit not in the day of wrath. They are a snare. They are a temptation. But now the bread and water of God's children, that shall be sure, that the Lord may bring them through this world. That he may be given them, that they may be given sufficient in this world, and that they may receive those riches that will never pass away. Oh, seek for them in that seasoned congregation that is lying before us, that our hearts, that they may not cleave to everything that is here below. Oh, we need it to get through. But oh, that our hearts may be looking, yearning to receive those blessings, that food and that drink that is coming from heaven itself, that may be eaten by the meek, that they may be satisfied, and that God may receive all the honor and all the glory. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do instruct us, for thou knowest that we cannot pray, and thou knowest how miserable and wretched that we are. Thou knowest how many needs that we have, and from our side, and everything is always so wrong. But Lord, wilt thou take it over for us? Or wilt thou take up our case, each and every one of us, as that great high priest to officiate at that golden altar? Lord, look on us then in mercy, we and our dear children, and leave us not to go in our own ways, which are always against thee. And now in the season that lies before us, to receive the blessings and to continue on in sin. Lord, stop us. Take away all iniquity. Forgive our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 235. Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need, my Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford, I cry to thee. All stanzas of 235.